He drove 60 miles with two coolers full of tilapia in the back of the truck and came home with almost nothing to show for it. The processor weighed the fish, wrote a number on a carbon copy ticket, handed him a check that barely covered his feed, and sent those fish off to be filleted, packaged, and sold at a price he didn't even want to think about. The gas alone ate half his margin. The hours were gone. The fish were gone. The money was fine. Not worth the trip. Don't take it to the processor. Isn't about processors being villains. It's about understanding that a backyard farmer does not live in the same economic world as a commercial operation, and that if you try to, you will always be the one carrying the cooler for someone else's profit. Last time we stepped into the ornamental world, koi and the fish you're not supposed to eat. We talked about pattern, color, tiny cosmetic flaws that make the difference between a $20 pond filler and a $200 living art piece. Before that, we walked all the way from fingerlings to a full bucket of tilapia, and what it feels like to finally pull your first harvest. Today is about money. Not in the abstract, but in the specific. Who you sell to, how you price, what channels you use, and why your scale means you simply cannot afford to think like a wholesaler. Here is the hard math most small fish farmers don't want to look at too closely. The price a processor or distributor pays you is the bottom of the ladder. That price is designed to work for large ponds, semi-trucks, and payrolls, not for a single tank behind a house. When you take backyard volumes into an industrial system, you become a rounding error. It's not personal. It's just math. If you want your backyard setup to do more than cover your hobby costs, you have to swim upstream. You have to sell closer to the plate. Let's talk about the channels that exist and what each one does to your price. Wholesale to a processor or distributor is the lowest paying option, and the only advantage it offers is convenience. One buyer, one delivery, cash in hand, no marketing, no customer conversations. In exchange, you give away almost all the value. That man who drove 60 miles, he got paid by the pound at a rate that made sense for the processor, who then sold those same fish into restaurants, grocery stores, or retail counters at 3 to 4 times what he was paid. His labor, his feed, his risk, their margin. Direct to consumer is the opposite end of the ladder. Selling whole fresh fish or fillets yourself at farmers markets, from your driveway, through a small CSA-style share, or over social media, means more conversations, more handling, and more time. It also means your price per pound is close to what people pay at the store. In many cases, more. A clean, fresh whole tilapia raised locally and sold the same day it comes out of the tank can command $4, $5, even $6 a pound in the right community. Skin-on fillets, hand-cut and packed on ice, can reach $10 to $15 a pound. That is where your margin lives. Not in the lower number paid at the dock. Restaurants sit somewhere in the middle. A small local restaurant that wants to feature local fish or backyard tilapia on their menu will not pay retail grocery price, but they will pay more than a processor, and they will buy in predictable quantities. The real value there is consistency. A standing order of 20 whole fish every Friday at a fair price can be the backbone of your cash flow, with everything else layered on top. Farmers markets are their own animal. The booth fee, the early mornings, the cooler management, the weather risk, all of it comes with the territory. But a farmer who shows up every week with clean, cold, well-presented fish will build a line over time, especially in a community where local meat and produce are already valued. The conversations you have at that table are not wasted. They are your marketing budget. Now let's talk about the garden ghost for this episode, because it does not look like a spreadsheet or a ticket stub. It looks like a person. Specifically, it looks like the first customer of the day at a farmer's market, who walks up to your table, opens your cooler, picks up one of your fish, asks the price, nods, sets it back down gently, and walks away without another word. That moment is easy to shrug off. You tell yourself they were just browsing. You tell yourself they didn't have cash. You tell yourself they were more interested in the tomatoes. Two booths down. But when you see that same pattern a second time, a third, a fourth, people who are clearly interested enough to open the cooler, pick up a fish, ask how much, and then leave, quietly, that is your signal. Not that your fish are bad, not that your tank has failed, but that your offer, in that setting, on that day, is misaligned. The numbers, or the presentation, or the story you're telling in those first 10 seconds is not connecting. The empty cooler is another image I want you to hold on to. There are two versions of it. In the first version, the cooler is mostly full at the end of the market day. The ice has melted into cloudy slush around fish that never left. You pack them back into the truck, a little more defeated than you were in the morning. And on the drive home, you start doing mental gymnastics to justify the time. Well, at least I got my name out there. In the second version, the cooler is empty by 10:30 a.m. You're apologizing to latecomers, taking down names for next week, and scraping clear ice from the bottom. Same cooler, same fish, different choices leading up to that moment. Pricing is a conversation as much as it is a math problem. You need to know your numbers. What it cost you to produce each pound of fish, including feed, electricity, fingerling supplies, and a fair wage for your own time, and then you need to contextualize that number in front of a human being who is deciding whether to hand you their money. Too cheap, and you send the wrong signal. People are suspicious of bargain meat. Too expensive, and you trigger the garden ghost behavior. Cooler opens, fish picked up, price heard, polite nod, silent exit. A simple exercise before your first market day saves a lot of guesswork. Visit the nicest grocery store within 30 miles of your house and look at the fresh fish counter. What are they charging per pound for whole tilapia? For fillets, write those numbers down. Then look at what the cheap chain store charges. That gives you a range of what people in your area are already used to paying. Your direct price should usually live between the cheap store's number and the high-end store's number. Closer to the high end if your fish quality and story support it. That story matters. I raise fish behind my house is interesting. These tilapia were swimming in clean, warm water yesterday and haven't seen a freezer yet is a story. I feed them a high-quality ration, test my water every week, harvest at dawn, and deliver them on ice within hours is a story that justifies a price. You don't need to recite a speech. You need to be able to answer, why is this worth what you're charging, in a way that feels honest and specific. The man who drove to the processor did none of that. He pulled up, unloaded his coolers onto a stainless steel table, watched someone else weigh his work, and drove home. He didn't have to explain anything. The processor knew exactly what they were buying and exactly how much they could get for it. When he finally tried a farmer's market, he set his price by guessing. Picked a number that felt fair without anchoring it to anything. The first three people all did the same thing. Open, lift, ask, nod, walk. By the fourth one, he felt that quiet twist in his gut that tells you something is off. He experimented the next week. Brought the same size fish, same ice, same cooler, but changed two things. He put a simple handwritten sign on the table with his price per pound, clearly visible, and he rehearsed one sentence on the drive-in. These were swimming yesterday. I harvest at sunrise and bring them straight here on ice. He also nudged his price down a notch to sit just under the high-end grocery's whole tilapia number. Something shifted. People still opened the cooler. They still picked up the fish. But more of them kept talking after he said the price. A woman in her 50s asked if he would clean them for an extra fee. A young guy with a cooler bag offered to buy four if he'd throw in one more at a discount. By 11 o'clock, he was looking at more ice than fish. For the first time, the emptying cooler felt like the right kind of problem. Restaurants came later. A local chef walked past his booth one Saturday, noticed the fish, and asked the same questions customers did when he harvested, how he raised them, how often he could deliver. They started with a trial run, 10 whole fish a week, delivered on Friday morning. The price per pound was lower than he charged at market, but the volume was steady and the relationship opened doors. When customers at the restaurant asked where the fish came from, the chef pointed them to the farmer's market. Here is the thing about not taking it to the processor. You're not just changing where the fish go. You're changing who you are in the chain. At wholesale, you are an anonymous supplier. At the market, at the restaurant door, on social media, you are a person with a name and a face attached to the product. That is work. It's also insulation. Customers who know you, who have shaken your hand, who have watched you talk about how you raised what you're selling, are slower to walk away over a 50-cent difference. This doesn't mean wholesale is always evil or always wrong. There are scenarios. Big once-a-year hauls, overproduction you can't move direct, a sudden freezer failure, where selling to a processor at a low price is better than losing the fish entirely. But as a default plan for a backyard operation, it is a dead end. You cannot drive your way to profit on 40-cent margins and long distances. The empty cooler at the end of the day is going to show up in your story one way or another. In the early days, it might be empty because nothing sold and you took everything back home. Later, if you do this right, it will be empty because you sold out before lunch and spent the rest of the market talking to people you'll see again next week. So here is where I want to leave you today before we move into the final episode and talk about what comes after that first profitable season. Imagine you have to choose between two paths for your fish. One where you sell everything in one quiet transaction at a low price to a processor, no conversations, no customers, no risk. And one where you stand behind a table, tell your story, adjust your price, and earn two or three times as much per pound, but you have to face people and maybe come home with an imperfect day. Which path would you actually take? The safe, low-margin anonymity, or the higher-margin face-to-face work?